The special favor of Allah, Awliya Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Awliya Allah, Awliya
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله ما شاء الله Viewers of Madrichal, welcome to our program Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And as we've said many, many times, what is the purpose of this program? We look at our pious predecessors of the past. We learn something from yesterday, from their lives, so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. So what is the best person to look for? I mean, you know, when we look about the lessons from the past, we look at our pious predecessors, and then following on from our pious predecessors, we look at the Tabi'in, then the Tabi, and then the companions of the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But all of them, if we want to get the ultimate lesson, the best role model, obviously, is the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's so much that you can learn from the life of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today we're going to learn a little bit about his aspect of his life, of his forbearance in his life, his patience in his life, his sabr in his life. And inshallah we'll learn something from it. And when you hear about these events, views on the channel, then again, these events are not there just to be good stories. And I've said this many times before. They're there so that we can learn lessons from them. So whenever you hear an incident of the past, think to yourself, why was it recorded? Why did this event happen? What am I supposed to learn from this? And if we analyze these situations that have been passed down through generation to generation, then inshallah azwajal, we can benefit from this. But before we begin, as I do, and we do on every program, and literally every program you watch with Dawah Islami, we give you a blessing of reciting through the Park upon the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today, the blessing that we have, Allahu Akbar, another beautiful one, the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the final messenger, Muhammad Mustafa, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is reported to have said that whoever recites Salat upon me 1,000 times in a day, he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, what a beautiful saying of the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously, if you see your place in paradise, then that means inshallah azawajal, you'll be going to paradise. It's your place, you're going to be staying in that place. And like I've said many times, the love is like a rose flower, it's a rose bush. And no matter how beautiful that rose bush is, no matter how beautiful the flowers are on that rose bush still needs nutrients, it still needs water, it still needs looking after, it still needs, you know, maintaining. So our love for the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can never be complete. And if it is complete, it still needs that water, that nutrient, that food for the soul. And we listen to the life of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We stand up in Salatu Wasalam. We go in the Jalus. We go to the Mahfil Malaz. We go to all these things. These are all nutrients for the soul to develop that love for the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our hearts. And as we know, loving the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is part of our iman. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I love you more than anything else except for my own life. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at him and said, your love and iman is not complete. And he thought about it and he pondered. And he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I love you more than anything including myself. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and said, now your iman, your love for the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is complete. And you know these, you know, whenever you hear these statements that I love the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the companions loved, it wasn't lip service, they really, really meant it, and they proved it. If you look at their lives, the way they lived their lives, the sacrifices that they made, the things that they did throughout their lives, everything in their life shows that not only did they say it, but they lived their life according to it, and they meant it. So the more we can learn about the life of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more that we can inshallah azawajal benefit from. And if we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we look at his acts, we look at his etiquettes, we look at his habits, we look at his qualities, we look at all these things, then in each and every one of them, there is something that we can learn. And today, inshallah, we're going to learn a little bit, like I said, about forbearance, about sabr, about patience in the face of difficulties as well. It is stated that Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he bought a camel in exchange for wax, around 540 pounds of dates. And when the Bedouin arrived at his home to get the dates, they were not found. When he said, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the dates would be there, collect the dates, when he went there, they weren't found. And he returned and he said that we bought a camel in exchange for this, but despite searching extensively, the wask of dates could not be found. Having heard this, the Bedouin, he started crying and he said, alas, I've been deceived. I've been deceived. Who is he saying has deceived him? Allahu Akbar. He is saying that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has deceived him. Astaghfirullah. And so when the blessed companions heard about this, they rushed to reprimand. They wanted, obviously, who are you to say this about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So they went to him to reprimand him and tell him off. And said to him, how dare you say such things about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave him, leave him. Because the person who has a rightful claim to speak, let him speak. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this three times, that you have a right to speak, speak. But despite being advised, the Bedouin still did not listen. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered his companion to go to Khula bint Hakim, say, if you have a wask of dates, then give them. We will return them upon you. The companion then went to Khula bint Hakim, told her that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you have a wask of dates, give them to us and they will be returned to you. So she said that she did have some and she sent them someone to collect them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take this Bedouin and give him the dates that are due to him. When the Bedouin returned with the dates, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that you gave what was due to me in a very good manner. He said, the Bedouin said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you gave to me what was due to me in a very good manner. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that the best from amongst the people is those who give the whole share in a good manner. In this particular case, we look at it, viewers of my channel, that you know, a person's come and he's accused the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of deceiving him. At that moment, you know, in normal life, if someone comes and accuses you of something that you know you've not done, how do we react? If I was to say to you that you have done this, you have done that, and you know it's not true, how would you react? That's the first thing. The second thing that we realize here is the honesty in trade. The honesty that we need to have in our business dealings as well. That if we make a deal, then we need to fulfill that deal. And so if someone, as a result of that, we're not fulfilling that, and we say something hurtful, then you know we shouldn't do this, and we need to fulfill the agreement. Many times it's happened where people, they make an agreement with someone, and then they go back on the agreement. You know, I've had it personally where people have bought something off me. I remember selling a car once, and someone came and we haggled over the price for a certain amount of time. And then when we agreed on the price, and then when I filled in all the paperwork, and he started counting out the notes, he gave me less money. And he said, oh, no, take that. Why, you should not go there. You should not go be back in our deal. If you wanted it at that price, then that's what you should have said. And so this honesty is where we are failing. As Muslims, we are failing in this. There are people that will borrow substantial amounts of money. They'll borrow, I don't know, £5,000. And they'll give it back piecemeal. 200, 100, 300, 500, 400. And what they'll do is they'll give £4,950. And they won't give the last £50. And they'll think to themselves, who's going to come and ask for the £50? You know, they've got £4,950. They're not going to come back for this. So this is ourself. We've already made this intention to be dishonest with people. We've already made this intention that we're not going to give this money back. We've already made this intention that we're going to try and be clever and sharp and get away with this. But this is not the way of our deen. Our deen teaches us to be honest in our dealings. Our deen teaches us that when we are doing trade, we need to make sure that we are honest merchants. And if you look at the deen of Islam, how did it spread? Yes, there was battles that took place, but the merchants, they traveled. Merchants traveled to the Far East. They traveled in many, many countries to do trade there. And when people saw these people that were honest businessmen, honest traders, then that act in itself brought these people closer to Islam. And whole countries, whole areas accepted Islam because of the honesty of traders. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, undoubtedly, the most closest, the most beloved and the closest to me in the hereafter from amongst you will be the one who will have the best manners And the person I dislike the most, who will be far away from me in the hereafter, will be the one from amongst you who has the worst manners. Our kirdar, our character, what is it like? What are our mannerisms like? What do people think about us? And we've said this many times before. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that a person passed away and people were speaking good about that person. And when they were speaking good about that person, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person passes away, people speak good about that person, heaven is wajib upon that person. Similarly, another person passed away and people were speaking bad about him. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person passes away and people speak ill about that person, then hell becomes wajib upon that person. The question I have, the question that we should all have, is what do people think about me? What do my neighbors think about me? What does my family think about me? What do my colleagues think? What do my own spouse and my children think about me? What do my colleagues think about? What do my relatives think about? What a place where I work? What do they think about me? And when I pass away, everybody, you know, is sad for a little while, but will they be genuinely sad? Or will they glad to see the back of me? Oh, thankfully he's gone. You know, he just gives me a headache all the time, he's gone. And if you feel that is the case, and that case could be, that case will almost definitely be as a result of the way that we've dealt with people, as a result of our character, of our characteristics, of how we dealt with people. If we have given a positive persona to people, if we created this positive image to people, if people respect us and are willing to come close to us, then inshallah when we pass away, they'll do dua for us. And they'll talk good about us. But if we have created this persona in front of us that people are scared of us, people know that this person is dodgy. This person, you know, if you're dealing with him, he's going to twist it and he's going to, you know, without you knowing, you won't even realize it. But he'll fiddle you out of £20, he'll fiddle you out of £50, he'll sell you dodgy goods, he'll do this, he'll do this. What are they going to say about you when he's gone? Shukr, I don't have to buy anything off him now. I'm sorted, yeah? And people will speak ill of you. That is a question we need to ask. And our character, if we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each and every aspect of his character was positive. Here we see that he didn't lose his temper. Here we see that he did an honest transaction. Here we see that he fulfilled the promise of his deal, even though, without a doubt, when that deal took place, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that the dates were there, and when that person went, the dates were not there. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't know, he said, hold on a minute, I'm sure I left the dates there. Let me find out what's happened. Yeah, and did a whole investigation to find out where the dates were come, and kept that person, you know, hanging by the thread, they're waiting for his dates. Let me find out where they're gone. I don't know who's taken them. Did you take them? Did you take them? What happened to them? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do this. He said, okay, don't, wait. And he arranged for another amount of dates to be given. Afterwards, with that today, he would have tried to find out what had happened. But at that time, he didn't delay in making sure that that person's claim was fulfilled, because he knew that that person was right. The Prophet of Allah, not only that, the Prophet of Allah had the authority. He had the companions behind him. When the companions went to attack him, to accuse him of, what are you saying, how do you say, he could have kept quiet and just walked away. Though. No, he didn't. Stop. He has the right to speak. He has this right to this claim. Let him speak. And then that positive image that it had on that person. And as Muslims especially, we've said it many times, that Muslims that are living in a minority country, then our dealings with people, the way we transact with people, the way we interact with people, the way we speak with people, the way our dealings are done with people, that creates a positive image, not just of you. Not just of you, it creates a positive or a negative image of Islam. So each and every one of us that lives in a Muslim minority country, each and every one of us is a representative of our deen. Each and every one of us is an ambassador of Islam. Each and every one of us, our actions are being monitored. And if you look at the past, you look at those people that came into the fold of Islam, how did they come? They came by looking at the character of the person in front of them. Not through studying the Quran, comparing it to other religions, looking at the science of the Quran. Each and every one of them looked at the person that was in front of them. They looked at that person, they looked at the character of that person, they looked at the characteristics of that person, the way that person was dealing with them. And the way that person was dealing with them, that's what influenced them. Like I said, the traders, when they traveled, they went from country to country and spread the deen. They went there with spreading, you know, to make money. They were businessmen. But as a result of their honest dealings, the way they dealt with people, people accepted Islam. And that is something that we need to look at. When people look at us, what do they think? As a result of my actions, would a person looking at me come closer to Islam or go further away from Islam? That's a question I need to ask. That's a question you need to ask. That the way I'm living my life, not only me in my, you know, workplaces, because in your workplace people are, you know, are normally very good. We were talking earlier on that, you know, when someone has an interview, he's always, you know, brilliant. He's always brilliant and he makes all sorts of promises. When you're in your workplace, you're a very, very good person because you know you've got your boss above you. But in our day-to-day dealings, our spouse, our children, our neighbors, our relatives, our family, what do they think about you? Do they think that you are a good person, a positive person? Do they think positive about you? And that is a question we all need to ask. And if we look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, characteristics, the ikhlaq, you know, that's what we need to do. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I love two things more than anything else: good character and feeding people. And he went on to say that if I had no food, I would feed all the world. But he also said good character. And throughout the history of Islam, it has been the character of the Muslims that has enabled Islam to progress. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the final messenger of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said that the most beloved people to me are those amongst you who are the best in manners, soft-hearted, those who love people and those who are loved by people. Those who love people and those who are loved by people. And amongst you, the most disliked people to me are the talebearers, who sow the seeds of discord between two friends, and who find faults in those people with the righteous character. Them are the worst people. Where do we stand? Where is our stance? That is a question that we need to ask. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. We're going to go to the first package of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. I've got a little bit of a dry throat, inshallah. I'm going to have some tea. And then when we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abu Talib, who was the uncle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said, I was once present with my nephew at a place called Zulmajaz. Suddenly I was thirsty. I told Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, oh my nephew, I am thirsty. I had informed him of this in order not to ask him for water, but because he had no water and also that he could share my problem. Abu Talib has further said, as he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam listened to me, he immediately got off the horse and said, oh uncle, are you thirsty? I said, yes, listening to this. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam hit the ground with his blessed heel and water gushed out. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then said to me, oh uncle, drink water. So I drank the water. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers, I'm on the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Viewers, I'm on the channel, we're talking about the forbearance of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in it comes the whole character. You know, we talk about the whole character of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk about, you know, how our character needs to be, what we need to be, and how, what are the signs of a good character. And we need to look at ourselves, examine ourselves. You know, it's not as if you can go to a surgery. You can't come to the mosque and the mosque will do a check on you and say, oh, you've got this problem with backbiting, you've got this problem with this, you've got this problem with that. They can't do that. You need to do your self-analysis. You need to be aware of the symptoms, you need to be aware of the problems, but you need to look at yourself and say, look, I've got this problem. You know, I'm telling tales, I'm lying, I'm cheating, I'm swearing, I'm backbiting, I'm doing these things. And now I need to find out what I need to do to resolve this. But we need to be honest with ourselves, and that's the first thing. So today we're talking about the characteristics of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful character that he had. And what are those characteristics? Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala has narrated that the embodiment, listen to this, viewers of the channel, the embodiment of good character is that a person who is the most modest does not harm anyone, he performs righteous deeds, he speaks the truth, he speaks little, he's habitual of practicing good deeds, he presents himself from mistakes as much as possible, he avoids useless speech, is righteous, dignified, tolerant, content with the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You can do a whole program on each one of these things. So beautiful madani pearls from Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala. He goes on to say, thankful, soft-hearted, of pure character and affectionate. He should not be the one who curses, swears, backbites, is hasty, bears malice, stingy and jealous. Rather, he should be cheerful, and he should love and hate only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he should be pleased and displeased with someone only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, I wish I could read that. I just keep on reading that all night. You know, that beautiful Madani pearl from Sayyidina Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah, if we could learn that, if I could read that as many times as possible, and each and every one of the things that he said there, we could do a whole program on. Soft-hearted, pure character, affectionate, the one who doesn't curse, the one who doesn't swear, backbites, hasty, bearing malice, stingy, jealous, loving people, hating, you know, all of these things, you can do a whole program on them. But all of them are there for us to learn something, that do we have these problems? And yesterday we're not going to do a whole program on them, because otherwise you'd be here all night. But what I'm trying to say to you is that we need to be aware from this. You know, we not only should refrain from committing sins, and we know what bad deeds are. For example, missing our salah, not fasting during the month of Ramadan. We're aware of them. We all know that it is a sin to miss our salah. We all know it is a sin not to fast in the month of Ramadan. We all know it is a sin not to pay our zakat. We all know it's a sin not to perform the hajj that is farz upon. But at the same time, these things, we need to make ourselves aware of these things and make sure that we're not falling into these traps. Yes, these are traps. These are traps of shaitan as well. Where shaitan will try to entice you to commit all these things and make you think that I'm not doing anything wrong. You know, I'm not lying. I'm not backbiting. I'm telling the truth. Yeah? But you know, you're creating malice between people. You're gossiping. You're backbiting. You're slandering. And you don't even realize it, because the problem is we don't even realize it. We don't even realize that we're committing these sins. It is stated that when a person backbites, a foul stench comes out of his mouth. Yeah. And someone said that, well, I can't smell it. I know people, but I can't smell it. The reason why we can't smell it is because that smell is everywhere. You're all so busy in backbiting. That foul smell that is coming, we become immune to it. You know, if you go to an itr shop and you're there for a while, you can't smell the itr because you become used to it. It's the same way you go to a place of dirt or filth, whatever it is. Then that smell, you smell it for a while, but then you get used to it. And you don't smell it anymore. Yeah. I remember, again slightly off topic, that someone got the daughter married to a camel herder. And they were worried about the daughter that, you know, where they were living, there was the smell of the camels and the camel dung and everything. And the daughter came back to her mother and father's house after about a month. And they said to the mother and father said to the beta, how are you managing with all that smell of the camels there? And she said, father, the smell's gone away, it's no longer there. The smell hadn't gone away, she just got used to it. And that's what it is with these sort of things that are happening around us. All of these things are happening around us that we've become immune to. We don't even realize that these things are happening, that these sins are being committed. They're happening right in front of us. These sins are being committed right in front of us. And we're immune to it because we're also part of it and we don't realize this. So the first thing we need to be aware of is where that these sins exist. And what are these sins, and how can we see the symptoms, and how can we cure us? Looking at the good character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jalla has also stated this, that the final messenger of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has the perfect character. Allah azza wa jalla says, and indeed you possess exemplary character. You possess exemplary character. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he says, I have been sent for the completion of good manners. What does he mean by this? The completion is to show to you a complete example of what good manners are. What are these good manners? These are the things that I've been told. And in these things there are other things. And you heard at the beginning, the word the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he suppressed his anger. And this suppressing your anger, controlling your anger, is called forbearance. To not get angry over a situation, when you are accused of something, when someone says something about you and you remain patient, you remain calm, this is your forbearance inside yourself. This is what you can take. Can we take it? Can we control ourselves when these things are happening? And that is something that, again, we need to learn, and we can see from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the example that we mentioned earlier on, where somebody had accused him that I have been deceived. Allahu Akbar, said it then and I say it now. If someone was to say that to us, to me, to you, that you deceived me, how would we react? Don't answer. That's another question of the day. Yeah, don't answer that question. But ask yourself, how would you react? How would you deal with these people? Would we deal with it in the way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, or do we get anger? Do we get angry? And that is something that we need to look at. What is our state of our anger? How quickly do we get angry? How quickly do we lose it? Yeah? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, with regards to anger, the strongest amongst you is the one who controls himself when filled with anger, and the most tolerant is the one who, despite having power, forgives. Two things are mentioned there. Tolerancy. That if you have the power to take revenge on someone and you forgive them, that is tolerance. And if you get anger and you control yourself, then that is, again, you are the strongest one. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith, he's reported to have said that the strongest amongst you is not the one who can throw his opponent to the ground. The strongest amongst you is the one that can control himself when he gets angry. Now, in both of them hadiths, we understand this. The anger is something that happens. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the strongest one amongst you is the one who controls himself while filled with anger. He doesn't say that you shouldn't be getting angry. We do get angry. We do get angry over situations. But everything has a limit. Everything has a limit, and we need to control ourselves when we get angry. And what happens is sometimes we lose it. Sometimes we say things when we get angry that we don't really mean. You know, I remember reading many years ago of an incident where a person, he came home from work and he'd had a bad day, he'd had a rough day. And when he comes home, the baby's crying. But the baby's been crying all day, the baby's not been well. The mother's had it up to here because the baby's been crying all day. You know, she's had to put up with the baby all day. And, you know, she's on edge and the husband's on edge, and they have a little bit of an argument. And the argument escalates. Meanwhile, the baby's still crying in the background. And the brother, the husband, he picks up the child by the ankles. And he starts to hit his wife with the child, resulting in the child passing away. All because he could not control his anger. All because he could not control his anger. And that is something that we need to be very aware of. Another thing that happens quite a lot, unfortunately, and this is something, especially I'm talking now to the brothers out there, that unfortunately, you know, divorce rates are on the increase. Not only in the non-Muslim community, but also in the Muslim community as well. And some of the figures that have been quoted recently are quite high. I'm not sure of the accuracy of them figures. That's why I don't want to mention them here on Madani Channel. But if them figures are true, then it's very, very high and it's very, very scary. But what happens is a lot of the brothers that have divorced their wives, afterwards they say that, you know, I said it in anger. I didn't really mean it. You know, and the scholars will say that, you know, obviously nobody divorces their wife when they're happy. But that is where controlling your anger is a huge responsibility on the brothers. That you have to control yourself. You know, your spouse, your wife, she might push the wrong buttons, she might get you angry, she might do these things. But you have to control yourself, because you don't want to do something that you later regret. In the case of divorcing your wife, if you get to that, then walk out the house. Yes, the wife might not be angry, she'll shout at you as you're walking out the house. Walk out the house, rather than doing something you later regret. And that's same with, I mean, I'm giving the instance here of divorce, but in anything, when you feel that anger is overcoming you, that you feel that you may do something that you may regret later on, then walk away from it. If you are angry, sit down. If you're sitting down, then lie down. You know, lying down and getting angry is very hard. You won't get up and be angry, don't you? Lie down. And if you're getting angry, then this water extinguishes the fire that's inside yourself. Walk out this and move yourself out of that situation. Because we don't want to live our lives in such a way that we do things that we later regret. And what happens is, if we cannot control our anger and we lose our temper and we do things that we later regret, then what is our future? And this is something that we need to ponder over. Do we control ourselves? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also reported to have said, seek honor and piety from Allah azza wa jalla. The blessed companions humbly asked, how? How is it possible? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, maintain ties with those who break ties with you, bestow upon those who deprive you, and adopt tolerance before those who treat you ignorantly. Again, a whole book can be written on that beautiful hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maintain ties with those who break ties with you. You know what happens is people fall out with each other. Brothers fall out with each other. Sisters fall out with you. 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they're not spoken to each other. And then when you sit down and say, you know, why have you not been speaking to your brother for 10 years, 15 years? Why? They have to think about it. They can't remember. And it might be something as simple, or they didn't think about my daughter when they were getting the son married, or they didn't give me an invite for this, or they didn't do this. And it's something insignificant. But as a result of that, you've not spoken to your brother or your sister or your parents, in fact, for many, many years. And our deen teaches us that maintain ties, be tolerant, forgive each other. You know, I've said it many, many times before. I'm going to say it again, that, you know, people say that there's a saying in Urdu that if you, you know, forgive someone, then your nose gets cut off. I've not seen the person whose nose gets cut off by, you know, by forgiving people. It doesn't happen. If you forgive people when you are in the right, not only will you be rewarded, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you forgive someone when you are on haq, when you are on the truth, when you know that you are right and still you forgive someone, then Allah azawajal will create for you a place in paradise. So forgiving, what happens is the nose doesn't get, your respect in the community increases. That this person forgives people. He doesn't bear grudges with people. He doesn't have malice with people. He controls with people. He's tolerant with people. And this is the character that we need to develop inside ourselves. So these characteristics of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are beautiful examples from them. The sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are beautiful examples from this particular one where I just wrote to you. And then inshallah we'll go to the kalam of the day. He said, maintain ties with those who break ties with you. Bestow upon those who deprive you. Those people who deprive you, those people who don't give you the rights, give to them. Why should I give to them? What's wrong? Give it to them. Give it to them. And then, adopt tolerance before those who treat you ignorantly. If you, someone is ignorant with you, if someone is bad with you, then you are the same with them. Then what is the difference between the two of you? If someone, you're sitting in a community where people are lying and swearing, and you start lying and swearing, then what's the difference? If you're sitting in a community where people are committing backbiting, slandering and lying and all this stuff, and you start doing that, what's the difference? If someone is intolerant with you, someone is abusing you, and you remain silent, then this is better for you. This is better for you because then you've raised yourself above that. You know, and this is, as Muslims, we need to raise ourselves above that. We need to diffuse situations. Many people will come to you with problems. Many people will come to you and they're ready for a fight. They're ready for an argument. But if when they come to you angrily and they're speaking to you angrily and you get angry with them, and you tell me what's the good result be? Is that the result going to be? But if you say, okay, brother, take it. Okay, okay. I understand what you're saying. Yep, okay. Okay, I think I've made a mistake. You know, please forgive me. Okay? And then if you think that they've ministered, you know, I've made a mistake, but I think, you know what, brother, as well, if you should do this as well and I should. And let's inshallah, forgive each other. What have you lost? What have you lost? As a result of your actions, you've caused a situation to be diffused. You've caused two brothers to remain in contact with each other. But if he comes and he starts saying, yacha, come on, then I'm ready for you. What are you going to say? Yeah? And he starts firing bullets at you and you start firing bullets at him and you stand up and he stands up and he gets heated. What is that going to lead to? And this is not what our deen teaches us. Our deen teaches us to be tolerant. Our deen teaches us to forgive. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout his life, he forgave people. How many people abused the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many people did he forgive? How many people hurt the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many people did he take revenge on? You know, we look at the events that took place when Makkah was conquered. And the whole of the people of Makkah were trembling that day. Because they realized that this person, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we had abused him. We had hurt him. We did this to him. We did that to him. We martyred some of his family members. Today he is in power. Today we've got scared. Today what is going to happen to us? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Makkah, the first thing he did is guarantee the safety of everybody in Makkah. And this is written in history that this is so unbelievable, so unique, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now is in a position. On one word, on one command, he could have said, get all these people and chop all their heads off. And nobody would have blinked an eye. The people of Makkah were expecting it. But this is the beauty of the character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't do this. He forgave them all and he made an announcement that forgive them all. And this act of forgiveness, this act of tolerance, this shocked. It has shocked historians. It shocked historians, and not only shocked historians, but it shocked the people of Makkah. And people came into the fold of Islam just again by the character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Views of Mother Channel, we're going to take a small break now to go to the Kalam of the day. Inshallah, Azawajal, when we get back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega Maula, laya hai kya kya? Poochega Maula, laya hai kya kya? Main ye kahunga naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought? I will then say, the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Apne raza ke qurban jao, murshid piya ke qurban jao, jisne sikhaya naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of the channel, before the break I mentioned a book, and I've just got it here. It's called The Sublime Biography of the Final Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala. It's a beautiful book, and especially it's been designed for our youngsters. It's only £2.50, available from Maktabat al-Madinah. I would advise everybody to please get this. It is available from Maktabatul Madina, and you can purchase this. The website address is www.maktabatulmadina.net. Beautiful book. And I think, again, we're trying to increase the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. Then one of the best ways of doing it is learning about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You learn about the things that he did, the sacrifices, the thing, you know, the way he lived his life, and the things that he did for us, and the things that he could have done. And as a result of that, if he had done them things, then what impact it would have had. For example, like I mentioned before the break, that he had the opportunity to punish all the people of Makkah, but he didn't, he forgave them all. Similarly, you know, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif to spread the message of Islam, Sayyidina Zaid bin Harith radiallahu ta'ala, he accompanied him. And there were influential people in Taif. And amongst these, there were some influential people that he invited them. And they didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to him, and they responded in a very vulgar manner. And these unfortunate people were not only stubborn, but they incited the wicked people of Taif to attack the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as a result, they began to throw stones at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from all sides, to the extent that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wounded as a result of these stones. His blessed feet were bleeding, and his blessed sandals were filled with blood. And when he got out of Taif and he sat down, due to the unbearable pain of the wounds that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had suffered, and he sat down to recover from them, the people again, they attacked him and forced him to get up and continue walking. Sayyidina Zaid bin Harith radiallahu tried to defend the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by receiving these stones on his own body, to the extent that even he was bleeding so badly that he was wounded all over his body. And it stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge in an orchard of grapes. A long time after this journey, after this event, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha humbly asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did you face any day tougher than the battle of Uhud?" And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes. Oh Aisha, that day was tougher than the battle of Uhud. When I was called the chief Ibn Abdul Yadlil to Islam, he rejected it with disdain, and the people of Taif stoned me. Filled with this grief, I kept on walking until I reached a place and gathered myself. Having there, when I raised my head, I saw a cloud with its shadow over me. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me from the cloud and he said, 'Allah Azza wa Jalla has heard the saying and the answer of your nation. And now the angel of mountains is present before you to obey your command.' The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given permission that if you say, 'The angels of the mountains, they will crush these people.'" Now this moment, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that this is the hardest day that he faced. Harder than the battle of Uhud. He was personally injured. The angel of the mountains said to him, "O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want me to overturn both the mountains upon these overbelievers, I will do so." Having heard this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "No, but rather I hope that Allah azza wa jal will bring forth such people from their offspring who will only worship Allah azza wa jal and they will not commit shirk." Allahu Akbar. He had an opportunity. These people had hurt him so much. And according to the narrations later on, he said it was the worst day, the hardest day for him. He suffered, he was in so much pain that day. You know, when you're in pain, you don't think straight. You know, when you're in pain, you just take revenge, and afterwards you'll face the repercussions, you worry about it later. But even then, that crucial moment, "I pray to Allah from their offspring. From their offspring, people will accept Islam." And now we see that the whole of Taif is Muslims. This is the sabr, this is the patience, this is the forbearance, this is the tolerance of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I'm mentioning all of these things, the question that we need to ask, would we do the same? How would we react? When you get the opportunity to read this book, at each stage in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask yourself the question, how would I react? How would I react? Would I react according to the teachings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or would I do something else? Viewers of the channel, we're going to go to the final package of the day, inshallah, and when we come back, we'll try and wrap up this topic. Let's go to the final package of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyidina Muhammad bin Hatib narrates that his mother, Umm Jameel, informed him of this following incident. Subhanallah. She says that when I was coming from Habsha with you, and one day's distance remained until Madinatul Munawwara, she says, I began to cook at a place, and the fuel got finished, the wood, whatever there was to keep the pot hot, that got finished. So I went to get some wood, and whilst I was away, you pulled the pot. Allah, Allah, Allah. When you pulled the pot fell on you, it burned your arm. Allah. So she says, I took you to the exalted court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. This was Sahaba Ikram. Whatever the problem was, they would go first and foremost in the court of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So she says, I took you to the blessed court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after seeing me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed saliva, his blessed Mubarak saliva, subhanallah, on your arm. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited something and blew. Subhanallah, she says, when I picked you up, your hand was completely sound. Subhanallah, and it was completely cured. Allah, Allah. This is the miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is only one miracle amongst the thousands, hundred thousand, millions of miracles performed by our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no doubt, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with miracles, many miracles they showed to their different nations, their ummah. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a miracle. Subhanallah. This is the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And when we look at the blessed miracles and the blessed excellent qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we just feel like sacrificing everything on the blessed Nalain Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to have the utmost respect, love and adab for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his Ahl Bayt Athar and his respected Sahaba Ikram. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jama'in. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Today, in today's program, we're looking at the role models of role models, the best of role models, the final messenger of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His characteristics, his forbearance, his patience. And we've mentioned a few incidents that took place, and we're coming toward the end of the program now. And whatever happens is normally when we do this program, we think that we've not got enough to talk about. But when we come towards the end, we realize that there's so much that we've not covered, and there's so much more that we can cover. So I'm going to give you a few instances that took place in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you can understand his forbearance. It is stated that the Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he fell asleep on a journey. Meanwhile, Awrat bin Harith, he took his sword and he unsheathed it. He took it out and it came to kill him. And when the Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awoke, he said to him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will save you from me? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Allah azza wa jalla will save me. Allahu Akbar. Hearing the awe of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words, the sword trembled from his hand. The Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he picked up the sword. And now he said to him, now, who will save you from me? This person had come to kill the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet of Allah, when he said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will save you? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will save me. And out of fear, he dropped the sword. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked it up. And now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now who will save you from me? Allahu Akbar. Gharat, he begged for his life to be spared. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him and let him go. And when Gharat returned to his tribe, he told them that he had returned from a person who's the best of all mankind. You know, persons come to kill you. And somehow he makes a mistake, for whatever reason. And now you become in a position where you can now kill him. What did you do? You forgive him. Allahu Akbar. This is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The all-forgiving. This is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, whenever you hear these, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that once I was walking alongside the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was wearing a Najani shawl with thick and rough edges. Suddenly a Bedouin grabbed it and pulled it with such force that it left a bruise on the blessed neck of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, order that I be given a share from the wealth that Allah azza wa jal has placed under your custody. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his attention towards him, smiled and ordered that he be given some wealth. This person had come up to the Prophet of Allah, dragged his shawl off him, pulled it off him to such an extent that it made a mark on the Prophet of Allah, and demanded some money. And at that, even at that moment, even at that beautiful moment, the Prophet of Allah, what did he do? He smiled and he said, give him something. He didn't say, why did you do this? Why didn't you could have asked me, you could have asked me in a nice way. Why did you have to do it this way? Yeah, I'm not going to give you anything. Come back later. When you've learned some respect, when you've learned some manners, then talk to me. Who do you think you are? No, this is not what the Prophet of Allah did. He smiled, forgave him, and said, okay, give him something. Labid bin Asim performed magic on the Prophet of Allah, but the Prophet of Allah did not exact any revenge on him. He also pardoned the non-Muslim woman who poisoned him. During the Battle of Uhud, a piece of the beloved Prophet's blessed tooth was martyred and his face was also wounded. But the Holy Prophet said nothing except, O Allah, guide my people, for they do not recognize me. But they have not recognized that he is the Prophet of Allah. So Allah forgive them. Guide them. Guide them, Ya Allah. Guide them to the true path. How tolerant. How forgiving. How broad-minded, if we could say. How open-minded, how much foresight the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he realized all his life, every single action, the repercussions it will have. That if he had allowed the angel to crush the people of Taif, then today Taif would not exist. If he had, you know, killed the people of Makkah that had persecuted him, then their families would not have existed. And that's something that we need to understand. What is the repercussions of our actions? If we do something, what is going to happen? You know, I've said it before that if you go down this route, the route that you're going down, where is it going to take you? Where will you be if you carry on doing this? Where will it take you? Or if you're getting angry, and you're thinking, you know, I'm going to say this, I'm going to do this, where is it going to take you? What is going to be the repercussions? And especially when it comes to family affairs, we need to understand that the repercussions of our actions between our spouses affects the children, affects generations, affects people. And this is something that we need to understand. You know, I was speaking to someone whilst I was in Pakistan this time, and a wealthy person, but he'd divorced his wife maybe 30 years ago, something like that. And he brought up his children single-handedly, give them a good education. But he said that it's affected them. The repercussions of whatever happened to them, whoever's fault it was, had these repercussions. So we need to understand the repercussions of our actions. That what we do today will have an impact on people tomorrow. Will have an impact on people around us. Not only that, what we do today, as I said earlier on, will have an impact on us when we enter that dark and lonely grave. So in the same way that we should live our lives, that we don't have any regrets. We should live our lives in such a way that the repercussions of our actions are positive. We should live our lives in such a way that when the angel of death comes to visit us, and we enter that dark and lonely grave, people speak positive about you. You know, ask yourself that if you leave that community, will people miss you? You know, in reality, it does happen that within a short space of time, people forget you. This is a reality that we need to understand, that this dunya is it's a drop in the ocean. It's nothing. This dunya is nothing. The akhirat is what we should be there. But at the same time, that will people be glad to see the back of us? And you know, ask yourself that if, rather than waiting for that day, if you were to make an announcement to people that you know, that you know what, I'm going to leave this town, yeah, I'm going to leave this area, I'm going to move away, how many people would try and convince you, no, don't, please stay there, what's your problem, why do you want to go? Or if they say, okay, yeah, okay, good luck, mashallah, I hope everything's okay, yeah. Then she said, why? Why are people glad to see the back of you? Yeah, why do they not want you to stay here? That, again, ask yourself that question. And so we need to ensure that we live our lives in such a way. You've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow, and there's so much we can say about the life of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many aspects, but we need to learn about his life. But until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah.